The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Where to begin? Love one another. Yeah, okay. This is it. I mean, it's the simplest, clearest command in all of Scripture. Let's do it. Yeah. It's the most challenging thing that Jesus ever said. It's really quite remarkable in any number of ways. And my mind is being kind of pulled in any number of different ways here. Well, one is to say this. I think I want to put John's gospel frame on the whole thing. Right? We see again at the end of the 20th chapter of John's gospel, the disciples came to know that Jesus was the Messiah, right? They were looking for someone to be at the head of the Israel movement, and they came to find out that it was Jesus, right? They trusted him. They followed him, of course, the last 3 years of his earthly life. They came to know intimately what it meant for Jesus to be the Messiah, to be at the head of his people. And this is a big part of it. What Jesus has come to do is he's come to restore man. So, yes, okay, people. Okay, I don't know where we are. Okay, he came to restore man and have him be the image and likeness. He could be God's image in the world, right? So that he was meant to be the one who lived out the plan of God for holiness and justice, right? It's about right order. I don't know. That sounds too static for me. It's more than right order. It's ebullient praise of God. It's ecstatic praise of God. It's union with him that takes us beyond ourselves. This is holiness, and justice is, of course, the relationships in and amongst ourselves that reflect well the love of God. So it's more than just like the static order of things. We've got to fit ourselves in the right boxes and all this kind of thing. It's much better than that, right? God's plan is much better than even our wildest imagining. Even when we get to this, even when we grasp for ourselves the fact that he wants us to live lives of holiness and justice. Now, because there's something more going on here, yeah, is that what has happened, and I'll contextualize it more according to where we are in this particular part of John's gospel. Because we have in John's gospel, this is the beginning of the farewell discourse. And, you know, we skipped a little bit because thematically we didn't want to hear it yet. It's verse 33b, okay? So 33b is something to the effect of Jesus is going to give us the Spirit. He's going to give his apostles the Spirit. Now, we want to hold off on that until Pentecost, except for the fact that the Spirit is the animating force behind what he's asking us to do here. Also, before this, Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. Yeah, so now this is the challenge, right? Is Jesus, and he said, "I have given you a pattern to follow. So you must, as I have done, you must also do." And that's the washing of the feet. But here's the thing, it's not enough. It's not enough. No, it's not enough to wash. It's not enough to wash feet. It's not. Because what matters is why we do what we do. And how we do what we do. This is why we need the little verse about the Spirit, is because how do we do what we do? We do it in the power of the Spirit. Why do we do what we do? Because we love. Even foot washing, right, can play with our pride. How good are we that we took on the lowest task? Like, I'm going to take on the most difficult, the lowest task, the one that everybody hates, the one that never gets thanks. How good am I that I took that on? But with love, it's not so. Because love is totally oriented to the other. Right? What is love? Willing the good of the other for their sake. Not me. Although, if I can do it, if I can will the good of the other for their sake alone, now I'm being transformed into a great conduit of God's love, into the fullest expression of what God intended me to be. But again, I can't do it. And I speak personally here. I can't do it without serious help. And that's God's own life of love being breathed into me so that I can, in some way, make it manifest for the people that he entrusts my care. There's much more going on in this passage, right? But I want to say just one little thing, one more little thing. This is how all will know that you are my disciples. I think of all the plans for evangelization that we've had as a church, and all the many programs that we've run and all the rest. And we have different metrics, right? Different measurements. How do we determine whether or not this is successful? What kind of impact is it making? All this kind of stuff. And so often, this is ignored. This is ignored. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is part of the specific character quality of Jesus' messiahship. Right, again, it wasn't that there was a vacuum of messiahs in the first century. There were a great many coming to the fore and trying to lead Israel in any number of particular ways. Jesus affects the legitimate renewal movement of God. And how does he do it? He does it by love. So how will the new Israel, that's us, by the way, take shape and make progress in the world? How will the new Israel advance God's purposes in the world? It'll be by love. So we have to have it. And the only way we have it is by God breathing it into us. And the only way we keep it is by pouring ourselves out. And keep it for ourselves. We can't. We have to make it manifest for a waiting world. And then this then is what catches us up into God's renewal movement, gives us the power, strength, and yes, the shape and character of our whole life. We're to look like Jesus. And we can look like Jesus because he's breathing his life into us, because he's giving us his body and blood so that we can be his body and blood for the world.